Jesus accepts us just like we are. I said Jesus accepts us just like we are. But he does not leave us just like we are. He came to change us, not to leave us as we were. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't stutter or stammer. He said it, and that's exactly what he means, and that's the way it is. You must be born again. What does that mean? It means change. He didn't come to leave us as we were. He wants us to be changed, and we will be changed if we're truly born again. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of water is referring to the natural birth. We're born flesh, but that is not good enough for eternity. You must be born of the Spirit of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's not just enough to be born. You mean we must be born again. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's why we have a struggle sometimes as Christians, is because we still live in this flesh, but the Holy Spirit can help us to conquer it. Can you say amen? Verse 7, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The first step in the new life is to be born again. When we're born again, our nature changes. I know the Bible talks about sheep and goats, but I'm a farm boy in America, an American farm boy. And we have pigs. Can you say amen? And so in this case, it's like changing the nature of a pig to a sheep. If you change the nature of that pig to a sheep, it would never get in the mud again because sheep do not get in mud. It would never eat slop again because sheep do not eat slop. So when we're born again, we become new creations, and we just like that sheep. We act different. We believe different. We do different things because we're different. And you can tell if a person's born again by their actions. The Word of God says that, we're justified by faith, but then says we're justified by works to this effect. If you're truly born again by faith, then your new nature will reveal it. You can see it. Just like you can see, if you could change a pig, his nature to a sheep, you can see the difference. When a person's born again, you can see the difference. There's one of our ushers, greeters, years ago, he said, I invited a man from my church, from my work, where I work. He's an alcoholic. And as far as I know, he's never been to church. He promised me he'd come to church this coming Sunday. And so I gave the altar call, and this guy came flying up. And that was the guy. He not only came to church, he came to the altar. And I laid hands on him and prayed for him, and he prayed the sinner's prayer. And when I opened my eyes, I could not believe what I saw. He had totally changed in an instant. He looked different. Amen. Had the same nose and eyes and ears, but he looked totally different. Amen. Changed that quick. His nature changed that quick. It even affected his appearance. Amen. Romans chapter. Everybody don't have that dynamic experience, but there is a change. You begin to have love for people. That's a real good sign right there if you love people. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You should be praising God right now that you're under no condemnation if you're born again. Well, I haven't been perfect. Well, join the club. But once we confess our sins, they're under the blood. In verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We're free from the law of sin and death. The thing that had dominated our lives is now gone. It's dead. It's crucified with Christ. We have been made free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, we are not under condemnation. And you've heard me talk about this quite a bit, because condemnation tells you you're not worthy to pray. You're not worthy to be healed. You're not worthy to take communion. That is the devil trying to shut you down so you will not act on your faith. He don't want you praying. He don't want you taking communion. He don't you believe in God for healing. You're not worthy. You are worthy. Because of the blood. We are free from the servitude of sin. We're no longer servants of the old slave master, the devil. We're born again. We're bought and paid for with blood. This should, as we go along here, build your faith. The devil no longer, as you've heard me say many times, no longer has a legal right to touch you. Because you are born again. You've been paid for, bought and paid for. And you are in the hands of God. And no matter what happens, he'll take care of you one way or the other. Amen. If you're praying for healing and he takes you to heaven, that's even better. You trust him. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. I say about what? 90% of America is deceived. They believe you can live any way you want to live and go to heaven. Boy, are they going to be surprised? And it's not going to be a good surprise. And as a few preachers like me yelling at the top of our lungs, you know, you must be born again. You must be delivered from the power of the devil. You must have your sins washed away. And come on, you got to get right with God. And we're just being ignored. But there's not many of us. Be sinner friendly. Don't do anything to upset people. To me, to be sinner friendly means to tell them you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Amen. That's sinner friendly because you're trying to keep them out of hell. Amen. That's what my Baptist preacher did. He said, if you get saved, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. I said, sign me up for heaven, man. So you're not very smart. Well, I'm smart enough to know heaven is better than hell. Amen. And it seems like most Americans are not even that smart. Today. 1 Corinthians 6:9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And it lists all those bad things there, and then it says, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, all you swindlers, raise your hand. We want to know who you are. We don't want to be swindled. But see, a lot of times we label those what we consider the big ones, you know, fornication, idolatry, and adultery, and all those things. But being dishonest is a sin too. Amen. Cheating people is a sin. Yes. If we're born again, listen to this. If we're born again, we are none of these because we are new creations. Amen. Now listen. All of our sins are blotted out. If even just one sin is left, you're going to hell. They're all blotted out. Well, what about this and what about that? It's blotted out. And by God's help, you say, Lord, I confess this and I ask you to help me not to do it anymore. And there's addictions and strongholds. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I fall down 12 times, I'm getting up 12 times. Yes. Amen. All of our sins are blotted out. If the flesh still has addictions and strongholds, the Holy Spirit will clean us up. I've seen some people born again and still have a real problem with alcohol. God will take that away if you truly get saved and truly obey God and trust God. You can trust him to break that off of you. And any other addiction. If a person has same-sex attractions after they're born again, they can be set free from that too. And must be, because it will wreck their lives if they don't. Amen. Verse 11, such were some of you, but you, or at least he can, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Do you know what were means? What does were means? Let's read it again. Such were. Some of you. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. All of that, if we're born again, all that's under the blood doesn't even apply to us anymore. Amen. But if the flesh still has addictions and strongholds, that's where sanctification comes in. He'll clean you up. Can you say amen? He'll clean you up. But you have to trust him and stay faithful to him. I mean, sometimes we get discouraged with ourselves and want to beat ourselves up, and we become the problem because we're wanting to speed things up. Yay. And we just have to trust God to change us and transform us over the long haul. When you're born again, you're changed. The old nature's changed. You're still living the flesh, though. And you've heard me say many times, you still like ice cream. And what does that mean? That means you have to control how much ice cream you eat. It's called self-control. I mean, that's in the Bible, too. When Dottie serves ice cream, I make her use these little cups. And you can fill it as full as you want, but it's a little cup. Okay. And you put all the fattening stuff on top of it, the whipped cream and all that stuff. But it's a little bit. It's called self-control. We still live in the flesh. Amen. Somebody asked me once, do you have trouble with ice cream? Every good American loves ice cream. You can't be American if you don't like ice cream. But you can't eat the whole gallon. Then it says, verse 11, such were some of you. Say, I were. Peter even applied that to healing. He said Jesus Christ took our sins in his body on the tree and died that our sins might be blotted out, I'm paraphrasing, and that we might be made righteous. And then he said, with his stripes ye were healed. And that heal there means to be healed emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially. Where healing was provided on Calvary, and all we have to do is put our faith in the benefits of Calvary. Put our faith in what Jesus Christ did. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is everything he provided on Calvary, which is healing, rapha, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially. He provided everything you need right there to live life and live godly. And you receive it by faith. For by grace are you saved, healed, delivered, set free through faith. Amen. There's no other way. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way to live. Amen. As a Christian, it's by faith. Such were some of you. Do you know what were means? It means it's done. We were of the old nature, but we're washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter even says ye were healed, meaning healed spiritually and physically, and you receive it by faith. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. That means Jesus. God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. Verse 2, by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. If you're born again, you're going to observe his commandments because your heart is reprogrammed with the word of God and the law of God. And when you break one of his commandments, like one of the Ten Commandments, something inside of you goes off and says, that's wrong. You need to stop that, repent of that, make that right. Those laws are written in your heart, and all of a sudden you love them. Amen. Because you know those laws are given to keep you out of trouble. Deuteronomy says his commandments are given to us for our good always. And when you're born again, you all of a sudden you know that. So why do we observe the commandments of God? Because they're now programmed into our heart. If you know anything about programming a computer, you have been reprogrammed with the nature of a sheep, not a pig. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. They are not burdensome because the Holy Spirit has programmed our hearts with them, and we now love those commandments. And here again, what is a sin? It's breaking God's commandments. It's not just stumping your toe and saying a little word. If you do that, ask God to forgive you and ask you to, him to help you. But at the same time, a sin is knowing something is wrong and saying, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. That's what sin is. And lust can lead you into that, craving things. And that's why you got to shut it down before it takes root in your heart. Hopefully we'll get to that in a minute. For what whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And I told you, this is a faith builder. Listen to this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Believing in Jesus Christ and his word and everything he provided on Calvary, it enables you to conquer everything the devil throws at you. You see, we have victory over the things of the world because we are washed, sanctified, and justified by faith. We can have victory over every evil thing in this world by faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can't conquer and have victory over. Until it's God's time for us in heaven. Somebody say amen one more time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That nails it right down, doesn't it? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Born again, Christians are changed. And I was saved at 11 years old, and I'd hear these preachers saying, well, if you're saved, you had a great change in your life, and you know you're saved. Well, I didn't have a great change in my life because at 11 years old, I wasn't all that bad. I mean, I still had that nature, you know. And so I would wonder, am I saved? Because I don't remember any giant change. Well, if you're born again, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. And the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience. So if you're born again, you're going to have some fruit. And I don't care what age you're born again, one of the fruit is love. And no matter what kind of sign you're looking for, if you're born again, you're going to love people. All shades of all colors. Can you say amen? And if you're not born again, you need to be born again. And to take care of all that racism and all that stuff if you're truly born again. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Born again, Christians have been changed, even though it may be more obvious in some people than others. You see, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If you're his workmanship and you're created to do good works, the question is, are you still a pig? Has there been any? If there's no change, it's time to get before God and repent and make things right. I don't know what the percentage is, but I've heard some of my Baptist preachers years ago say that about half the church, they call it deadwood. In other words, people in the church weren't even saved. They come and join the church and just fit in, and I think that's true of all churches. There's people sitting there that's not even saved. Well, if you don't have love in your heart for people, you need to get saved. If you have hate in your heart, you need to get saved. Somebody say amen. And I'm just trying to help you out here. I said one time, in the pulpit, came out pretty good. And I says, eternity is too long to be wrong. I couldn't believe I said something that deep. But he just came right out. And we can't afford to be wrong on this one. You must know you've been changed in here. And the greatest evidence of that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Can you say amen? Benevolence, giving to people, meekness, like me, meek, and yeah, humble, like me, and self-control, and all of those fruit of the Spirit will begin to start manifesting in your life. Can you say amen? How many know if you're humble and you know it, you're not humble. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's it right there. Beautiful little short phrase. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You cannot do one thing to earn salvation. If he could, Jesus Christ wasted his blood. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For ye are his workmanship. When you're born again, that's the key. Know that he moves in. He lives in you. The Son of the eternal living God lives in born again people. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, a lot of times we don't see a lot of change if we don't spend time in the Word and in prayer. Listen, I don't care how saved you are, if you're going to grow in Christ, you must do the Word. And doing the Word is not just the don'ts. Don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't covet. No, you got to do the goods when you give and when you pray and when you fast and when you go to church. And when you meditate on God's Word, when you speak to your mountains. You got to be a doer of the Word. As you begin to do the Word, you grow, and there's no other way. The just shall live by faith. By faith in what? Jesus Christ and His Word. And if you believe it, you do it. So why in the world do you pray about 3 hours a day and fast 110 days a year? Because I believe the Word of God. Now, you don't have to be as radical as me. But if you're a born-again believer, you need a prayer time every day. And if you don't have, you're probably going to wind up in trouble. Because you can't stay strong without time in the Word and time in prayer. Now, if you come to a church like this every Sunday morning, and then maybe listen to some of the other things, you know, on YouTube and all that stuff, you may be able to stay pretty strong because we preach the Word of God here. Been hinting for that for 30 minutes. It took you a long time to catch on. We're not saved by keeping rules or rituals. But if we have a new nature, listen, we will produce good works. When I was truly, I was saved in the Baptist church, 11 years old, on vacation Bible school. At 15, I took a year off for bad behavior, and that's when I really began to get some trouble. And then I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't have any power. I don't care what anybody says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to have the power of God in your life, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not embarrassed about that. I'm embarrassed of those people who deny the power of God and live in failure and defeat. Just imagine how they're going to feel. And they get stand on judgment day and they live their whole lives in failure and defeat. They're saved, but they live their whole lives in fear and defeat because they would not accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Shame, shame, shame. So you need the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not saved by keeping rules or rituals, but if we have a new nature, we'll produce good works. James said, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That's almost a total contradiction. At least it sounds like one. It says we're saved by faith and faith alone. And then he says a man is justified by works. I hinted at that at the beginning because if you're truly born again, it's going to come through. You're going to see it in what I do. Amen. So you're justified in the sense if you are a sheep, you're not going to eat slop. And you're not going to play around in the mud. And if you do slip up and fall in the mud, you're not going to like it. Because you're not a pig anymore. You're a sheep. Is this making any sense? And you'd be amazed how many Christians don't have a clue about this. And they don't know what sin is. Well, I sin every day. I just can't help it. Well, that's not true. Sin is rebelling against God. That's what sin really is. And you're born into sin, but once you're born again, sin is making the decision to do something you know is wrong. Amen. And the Bible's very plain on that. Sin is breaking God's law. But who knows that? Preachers have really messed us up. Can you say amen? Preach anything and everything. Our faith is revealed by what we do. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? His faith was revealed by what he did. God asked him to sacrifice his son of promise, and he started putting together the altar with the wood and everything, had the knife ready to sacrifice his son, and he lived by faith. And so the proof that he lived by faith was that he was going to do what God told him to do. And then, of course, God stopped him. It was a test to see if he really had faith in God, if he really, truly trusted God. And when God saw he truly trusted him, he said, I don't want you to sacrifice your son. That's a son of promise. Amen. See, down deep, Abraham knew that Isaac was a son of promise, and he knew somehow God was not going to allow him to die. And if he did, he'd raise him from the dead. See, he had total trust in God. That's the kind of trust we need to have. Verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. If a man is born again on the inside, either show on the outside. That's all that means. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them away another way? Because Rahab believed in God, she protected his people, his spies that came into Jericho. They were Jews and they were pagans, but she protected them because she, at that moment, became a believer. And you can see she's a believer by what she did. So these people are around saying, you know, you can just live any way you want to. No, if you're born again, you're going to live the commandments of God written in your heart, and you're going to be different. Amen. If you're not different, get right with God before judgment day. Amen. That's my job. The Bible says the watchman is called to watch, and if he does not warn the wicked would die in their sins, and their blood will be on the watchman's hands. There's not going to be any blood on my hands. He said, amen. I'm going to tell it like it is. And if you don't like it, we'll grin and shake hands and I'll go to lunch. Even take you with me and buy your lunch. But I'm going to speak the truth. Amen. And that's just is scripture. It's not my version of it. I read it to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And verse, these chapters here, 6, 7, 8, people say, well, it's teaching that you can't, you know, you can't help live in sin. It's in your nature. When you're born again, you have a different nature. He's talking about the old nature. But here's what he says in plain black and white. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? As a young Baptist boy, I was told, well, you're going to sin anyway. You can't help it. You might as well add a few to it. An adult Baptist told me that. Just a kid. You're going to sin anyway. You might as well add. Listen, if you're born again, you're not going to break God's law on purpose. If you do, you're going to repent of it because he lives in you and he's going to quicken that to your heart that you're wrong. Romans 6, 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, we are not to continue in sin on purpose. They're no perfect people. But if you know it's wrong to tell a lie, then don't be lying. I don't lie very often. Paul says, God forbid that we continue in sin. Now, here's the deal. Practicing sin, continuing sin, is different from getting tempted and sinning. Practicing sin is living in sin and enjoying it. If you can do that, you're a pig. If you can live in the mud, you're a pig. If you enjoy slop, you're a pig. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old nature was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The old nature is dead. You still have the flesh, and it has to be controlled and cleaned up. Does this make any sense? Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. The old man with all of the above sins has been crucified with Christ. Therefore, we're no longer to be controlled by the lust and the works of the flesh, because the old nature is dead, and now we can control how much ice cream we eat. Yay. And how much cheese we put on our hamburgers. If you want to lose weight, a real beginning is to remove cheese and cream from your coffee and all that kind of, get rid of all that fat stuff. Can you say amen? It helps. How do I know that? Because I've been skinny my whole life. And now that I've been fasting and all, my metabolism balanced out a little better, and so I have to watch how much cheese I eat. But now ice cream, I eat all that I can put in that little cup. And not four or five times a day either. Okay. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. And do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. How many know you can use your hands for ungodly things? You can use your tongue to slander people and hurt people. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Control your body. Grace changes us. You see, the new birth is the provision of grace. Grace is provided through Calvary. We receive it by faith. Verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you. Oh, you have to, you can't help sin. You're going to live in sin. Look, this says something totally contrary to that. For sin shall not be master over you. I might slip up and do something or say something I regret and have to repent of it. Might hurt somebody's feelings and have to apologize, whatever. But sin is not my master. I don't have to keep doing it. That's breaking God's law. That's what sin is. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. If we are crucified with grace, sin is no longer our master. Is that clear? The old nature is crucified and we have a new nature. It's like changing that pig's nature to a sheep. If that nature's changed, your behavior changes. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I read that a minute ago, but here are some more from that passage. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Why did Jesus have to come with a new covenant? Because our nature under the old law, the Old Testament law, was not changed. And the law couldn't change our nature. So man continually had problems with sin because his nature was messed up. When Jesus came, he took our sins in his body, died in our place, so our nature could be changed. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new. Our nature has been changed. Is this good? Is this answering anybody's questions? Are y'all going to pat me on the back? Probably not. Did you say you would, Stan? You've never patted me on the back. You patted me on my bald head a little bit. That's, I love and adore Stan, and I think he likes me okay. But we do have fun at each other's expense. We are set free from the law of sin and death when we put our faith in the shed blood of Christ. Jesus made us free, so we are no longer controlled by sin. We're not perfect, but we are in control now, not the devil, not sin. Get out of here. I'm not doing that. You're not gonna, get out of here. And in order to maintain that, if you start craving something, if it's wrong, you need to break it in prayer. I've had temptations sometimes so strong, I felt like I couldn't stop it. But I pray and God break a thing off of me. That's why some of you are still alive. I'm kidding. When Satan brings temptation, we now have authority to rebuke him and tell him no. There's a scripture just for that, but I can't put every scripture I know in one sermon. 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God practices sin. nailed it. And that's exactly what the Greek says. That's the New American Standard Upgrade Version. It's one of the most accurate. I still compare everything to Old King James. But I also know enough about Greek to at least dig it out. And that's what it means. No one who's born of God practices sin. It doesn't say you'll never sin, but you do not intentionally practice sin. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin, cannot go on sinning is what it means, because he is born of God, because Jesus Christ lives in us and he keeps us from sin. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul said. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the seed of God in me, protecting me from sin. And when I do mess up, he convicts me and says, that is wrong, buddy. I did something once about 17, 18 years old, and it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. And I was over on the farm walking around praying, walked under a pine tree, and it looked like God's finger come right down through that pine tree, and he says, you were wrong in doing that, and now you go fix it. Now, I assume if he treats me that way, he's going to come after you. I had to go fix it. That's what it means to be born again. You don't practice sin. The born again believer cannot continue in sin because Jesus lives in him, keeping him from sin. He's going to rebuke you, correct you, whatever it takes. By this, isn't that great to have a Savior like that? You don't have to live in fear of going to hell because he's in here guiding you through. Yes, I believe I'm eternally secure. How about you? Because I got the guy in me. I can't renounce him or anything like that, but once you make your mind totally sell out to Christ, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his neighbor. And he told us who our neighbor is the guy, the good Samaritan that shows up to help us when we're in the ditch. Can you say amen? And then he said, go and be a good neighbor. If all Christians, anyone here by America, would be good neighbors, all crime would cease today. A good Samaritan's not going to rob you. He's not going to lie to you. Not going to cheat you. Not going to commit adultery with your wife or your children. Amen. We are either the children of God or the children of the devil. There's no halfway in between, one way or the other. The children of God love each other and practice righteousness. We know them by their fruit. Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. An apple tree will never produce oranges. But the tempter comes to tempt us to sin and to condemn us daily. Never give up on your faith and never abandon your faith. Jesus told a parable that people ought to pray and not give up. If you get discouraged and feel like giving up, just pray. Meditate on God's word until that thing goes away. James chapter 1 verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So sin is not something that just happens, in many cases, it's a temptation that you don't deal with. Just having the desire is not evil. Well, if you have the desire, you might as well do it. No, no, no. If someone desires to punch you in the nose, is it just as bad to go ahead and do it? No, you control that desire and don't punch him in the nose. But desiring something that the Bible calls sin, not what some know-it-all calls sin. Well, that's a sin. Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? But desiring something that the Bible calls sin, enough to do it anyway, is sin. My greatest example is the watermelon. Anybody remember my watermelon? My daddy grew watermelons on the side of the mountain because they got so big we had to roll them off. I thought that was funny when I heard it. But I'm going over to see Johnny, and I go through Mr. Carden's watermelon patch, and I see a real beautiful watermelon laying there. And I say, I know it's wrong, but when I come back, I'm going to get that watermelon. See, I lusted, it conceived, and right then it was sin. When lust conceives. So I go to see Johnny and come back, the watermelon's gone. Did I sin? In the eyes of God? Not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. Yes, because I decided to sin. Now look, the Spirit clearly says, okay, let's go back. James chapter 1, verse 14, unplug the clock. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, when I saw the watermelon, I lusted for it. I was enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So when it conceived and I said, okay, I'll steal it, it became sin right then. That's the way it works. Deal with the lust. If there's a woman at work that's really attracted to you, you ask God to help you and you stay away from her. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's not worth it. Amen. 1 John 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon, apostate the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. The devil wants us to give up completely and walk away from God, the church, the Bible, and the will of God. Don't tell me people not doing that, because we've had many do that right here in this church over the years. We do not lose our faith, but this says we can abandon our faith, or the word here is apostate. We must live by faith as long as we live. Never cast away your confidence in faith. And why would that be a bad thing to cast away, or not to cast away? Don't cast away. Maintain your faith. The judge shall live by faith, not by 15 minutes or 15 years, your whole life. You maintain that faith, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That word believeth means to continue to believe. And as long as you continue to believe in Jesus Christ, you're on your way to heaven. Never allow the devil to discourage you that you even be tempted to give up. I made a commitment after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knelt down by my bed at 15 years old, and I said, God, I'm going to serve you from this point on if it kills me. And when you make a commitment like that, man, it's sealed and it's done. Can you say amen? That's commitment to this day. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to preach the truth. Somebody shoots me, it bullet bounces off, but if it don't, I'm still going to preach the truth. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away or apostates. There's that word again, apostates from the living God. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Hold your faith or your assurance fast until the end. Always believe God. Always trust God. If you're disappointed, believe him and trust him anyway. Do not take a chance with your soul. Hebrews 10:35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. And if I'm wrong about that, it doesn't hurt anything. As long as we maintain our faith, we're going to heaven. But what if a person can apostate, and they do, and we don't warn them? You're on good ground just to maintain your faith, no matter what. I don't care what some preachers talk to you. I don't care about that. I care about what this book says. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which hath great reward, for we have need of endurance, so that after we've done the will of God, we may receive the promise. That's true of receiving healing or anything else. You have a promise. It may appear not to be working, but you stand in faith and believe it anyway. Because you trust God. This says, do not cast away your confidence, but endure until you receive the promise. We must believe his promises until we receive them. 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Listen, and this life is in the Son. Eternal life is in the Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. If you have Jesus Christ in you, you have life. And live your whole life trusting him, because he's living in there. If there's something wrong, he'll warn you. He'll help you. I had some things in this sermon he wanted changed. He just flat told me, I want you to change that. And he showed me the verses, and I just put them in. If you're off track just a little bit, he will help you get back on track.